Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Welcome to Journeys. It's May the 6th, 2013. This is Revolution Radio, a listener-supported station. Do click the donate button. You're being simulcast also on Wolf Spirit Radio. Please click the donate button there as well. I wonder if there's more creative ways of saying that so that people don't kind of switch off as soon as I say please click. I'm sure you all have. Anyway. Good evening and welcome. This is a new time, a new hourly, this is now a 2 hour show. This is Journeys with JP. We are, on Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio and of course in the archives, probably on YouTube and Mixcloud. The topic tonight, I have chosen to be crystals because, this is the age of the crystal. This is the age of Aquarius. We've kind of finally made the big jump. We're definitely into the age of Aquarius. Pisces has, we're seeing the end of Pisces. What you're watching in the news, all of this, high emotion, all of this, dark, hidden, underground stuff, that's all coming out up to the end now because it's Aquarius. It's the age of, where you don't believe, you know. There's no one in the middle between you and God. You realize that you are God. This is what it's all about. And, you know, people talk about ascension. This is what ascension is. This is, that's it. It's just knowing that you're a spirit in a skin suit. Having a human experience and, let's go for it kind of thing. Rather than forget that and being forced into a labor camp for the entire multi-incarnational existence that you have here. Until such a moment, such as, right now, such as this week, this month, occurs where there's many things that are coming together with energy that is pouring from the galactic center, with energy that is coming from other stars and other solar systems that are ascending, with energy that is coming through the result of the meshing of various other cycles. It's like there's a whole big gap, and it's like there's a point when all of the discs, they all line up and everything becomes a flat surface. And it's possible at that point to calm it down and allow everything to come to a new balance, a more harmonious balance. It'll be rhythmically, it may be a little, maybe a little more like a roller coaster, but at least you know you're safe. I think that's the real thing. You know, the one thing about human existence, there is definitely a feeling of not feeling safe. That's what we're moving out of. We're going to feel a lot safer because we'll have built our history behind us, for it to come in front of us. So, you know, we'll have created our future. We've decided what we want and decided that we can build that using the tools that we have and the equipment available to us and possibly, that could be lent to us by some friends. So, now I've asked my friend Tony here to join us. So I'm going to call him up now. He's probably listening to the stream now, so it's all going to be quite interesting when he comes in. And I'm bringing Tony Paschik into the call, He's not there yet. Where are you, Tony? Last night I was speaking on my show Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, and there you are, Tony. Tony and I, we started a conversation because my guest hadn't turned up, so we started talking about stuff, and we started talking about interesting things that we were we had a mutual interest in. Welcome, Tony. How are you doing?
I am awesome, despite being very tired, and I apologize for that multitasking there, and I kind of missed the deleting the radio broadcast while I was broadcasting, so I apologize.
Oh, don't worry. It sounded all right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. So as long as it sounds all right, nobody's going to know.
Oh,
so,
okay.
It's lovely.
So don't spill the beans yet.
Exactly.
Shh.
All right.
Okay.
Well, as I said, that, you know, that's the end of that's Piscean stuff. You know, the whole age of Pisces is all about, you know, keep it quiet, don't tell anyone, and look where that's gotten us.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, maybe I should not make that comment because it's about my family.
Yeah,
I don't think I'll make that comment.
Yeah, they could listen to the archive, couldn't they? Hey, here we go.
Yeah,
hey, listen to this show. I was really bitching on about you, Lynn.
Yeah, and there are some things that I'm thinking now that maybe I shouldn't have talked about in past broadcasts. But you know, I've kind of lived my life an open book since getting sober, and I just find it's a better way to live, and I'm more than open to be pointed out and said, you know what, you shouldn't have said that, and I'll say, you know what, you're probably right, and I apologize, what can I do to make it right, you know, make the amends.
Wow, so that can be quite a tremendous energy to have around you. I used to go out. I had a girlfriend who was an ex-smoker, drinker, you know, and everything. The same energy goes elsewhere.
Exactly. And I think the listeners have heard me say this at least a dozen times now. Everything is energy, including that table sitting in front of you. It's just energy moving really, really slow. And when you start recognizing the pure physics of everything being energy and that we are in fact energy, it kind of changes the way that you approach and conduct your life. And that's one of the things I'm just getting more and more in touch with, is that we receive what we send out. I mean, it's been said in so many different sacred passages in so many different ways. You reap what you sow. The universe is a mirror. The energy we send out is the energy we get back. And when we get really brutally honest with ourselves, and man, I'll tell you that there have been occasions where I seem to be minding my own business, but I have some thought form in the back of my head I'm wrestling with and I'm irritated about. Things pop up in our reality right now really, really fast. And I think that's because we're in such a highly energized, going through the galactic plane, all this energy coming in. And I've also said this before, anything that's out of alignment gets magnified. Anything in alignment gets magnified. So this manifestation is happening really rapidly. I had an amazing, powerful, troubling morning this morning.
So, a lot of people have been reporting that. But,
Sure.
I don't know if you've ever heard any of my shows about the seven rays.
You know what? I have, and I mentioned that in chat before the show, is that you've never read me, and I've been really curious about that, but didn't want to call in because I'm a show host and stuff, and I just, it's for the listeners, that, at least, maybe I'm totally wrong here, but
well,
it's for the listeners to get that information to call in.
And, well, you see, it's a kind of an open experiment kind of teaching thing, and basically, everybody is, you know, laid bare. If your rays are known, your energies are known. It's very simple. You know, and other races can just read this stuff. You know, they see it as colors or forms, you know, stuff like that. So we have...
Yeah, that makes sense.
And like you say, everything is energy. Yes, everything is energy. And the seven rays are the ways of describing those energies. You say, as above, so below. There is also the law of correspondences, which means that if there are seven of one thing and there's seven of another, they match. They have a correspondence one to one.
Okay.
Yeah?
So can there be an imbalance then?
Well, you see, the seven rays is really all about relationship. And I'm not talking just like male and female relationship. It's the way things relate to each other. Relation as in musical intervals.
Oh, okay. So harmonics.
Physics. Harmonics. Yes.
Vibration. Yeah, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Got it.
Okay.
Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah, and it's like it's totally crystal clear. It really,
okay.
Once you see the beauty of it, it makes everything very much more handleable. So instead of being intimidated by some person who's like, for instance, he's extremely critical and bitter and being very, very down to earth and very earthy and all of that stuff. And he's really angry and emotional. You can say, instead of like thinking what a jerk this guy is or, you know, whatever else you might think about this person, you can take it back and roll back in your mind and say, ah, right. So what we're seeing here is the fifth ray. In that, all that critical energy and very spiky and nasty. And you've got the sixth ray there. Now, you can see that the fifth ray has some great advantages. It's very, very clever. And it remembers loads and loads and loads of things. Like, it's like a library. And also like mechanics are very, have this, carry this fifth ray. It's, you know, being able to work with the world in its real concrete form. And, so that would be that kind of really hypercritical thing. And, you know, a lot of people have the fifth ray somewhere in their being anyway. And this is something that we're all working out. And then you've also got the sixth ray going there. Now, this is, where you should start pricking up your ears, Tony. because, your rays are 2, 7, and 6. Okay. So, your monad is ray 2. Your soul is ray 7 and your personality is ray 6. Okay? So, your transition, your transformation is the transformation of the world. Because we're moving from the 6th ray age to the 7th ray age. And you're evolving from a 6th ray personality into a 7th ray soul.
Yeah, I was, younger, I was to a very damaging extent, self-critical. I wasn't, which is kind of interesting. I really didn't judge others all that much, but and forgive me, Father. My father was pretty judgmental.
Yeah, I mean, we all have personal stuff that we pick up, and again, they come through as energies and they come through as rays. So as long as you can start identifying what ray something is. It becomes a lot more fun living life. And you can take it a lot less personally. In fact, that's the idea, is you don't take things personally, you take things soulfully.
Right, that we start understanding and having some insight into the energy.
Yeah, you begin to understand the mind of God, because this is how God thinks. This is how God sees the world. Yeah?
Yeah, so I'm 2, 7, 6.
Yes.
Said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess 2, 5, 7. 2, 5, 7. No, you see, what is like? Okay, so let's talk about your evolution. You're older than you're older than 40, aren't you?
Yeah, I was born June 10th, 1960.
All right, so a year older than me. Okay, so you've got You got your path, right? Everybody goes through their path. And their path You start getting the nudges about 28. Then about 35, you have, if you're really off, you'll have your crisis.
Yeah, that's, I got sober at 37. 35 is when I was living on the street.
That's right. That's when you hit the crisis, right? This crisis is your soul entering your body and saying, screw this for a game of soldiers. You know, what have you done with this place?
Right.
You know, you've been, your personality experience, that's like the seed that your spirit, your soul has planted, right? And your body grows up, and about the age of 28, it checks in, sees how things are going, how close to its plan for the inhabitants of this intelligent avatar robot, which is our personality, and has its chance to set things up the way it needs to be. You know, you grow up, you have certain DNA that gives you hooks so that the soul can hook in and tune in. It's all about resonance. So you've got certain frequencies in the DNA that allows the soul to stay here and inhabit.
Wow, that's kind of interesting, because I was trying so hard to leave. I was doing damn near anything and everything to leave on a daily basis. I was wanting to die.
Yeah.
And I existed in that state for 2.5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, essentially, that's what you have to do. Because the six-ray personality, sadly... See, the thing about the six-ray... What can I say about the six-ray? We're at the end of the age of the six-ray. We're at the end of the road that all the six-ray traits take you.
Yeah, that paradigm is played out.
That's right. Everything is played out.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's Andrew and I talked about that actually a little bit.
Yeah. So that's the Pisces age, right? And we're out of the Pisces age. So anybody who's got remnants of what the Pisces age was carrying, it's time for it to go.
Interestingly enough, both my parents are Pisces.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Pisces too.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I have to die. We're just talking about the paradigm.
I love my parents dearly. I love you too. You're a wonderful human being, and you're doing so much for the world.
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. So, okay, so since you don't mind being used as a human dissection, we can talk about your rays, okay?
Yeah, evisceration.
That's the one.
Yeah.
You remember that German TV series, or the TV series, you know, where the guy sort of did this live TV autopsy? People were fascinated by it.
No, I never, was that in the States? Did it ever get broadcast?
Must have been Britain. It's probably available on YouTube.
I'll have to look that up. What was the name of it?
I think it was just called The Autopsy.
Oh, okay.
It was some very tall, tall, thin German guy doing the autopsy and describing what he's doing all the way through. Yeah.
Okay.
It was sort of narrating it in this kind of weird way. Very strange.
Okay.
Okay. So, let me just, close a few windows here. So you can close that. Yeah. There we go. All right. I've been working on, Microsoft Access databases and PHP website code this evening. So it's really interesting to have a nice chat.
I think I officially killed my other PC. I had downloaded some program, and it's I can't remember the name of it, but I've been trying to get all the remnants out of it's something that takes over command of your web browser, and it just messed everything up. And I've been trying to fix that, going to Microsoft. Mike, gotta be careful here.
Yeah, don't. But look, it's micro crap. You know, it's
yeah,
rubbish.
Yeah.
I recommend Ubuntu.
It's just overwhelming. I'm not that computer savvy, and I was fighting with that this morning along with a couple of other things, and it just, everything was going sideways, and I almost pitched it off the porch again. Yeah. But I'm going to have to take it to a friend to have the entire thing erased and reloaded, because I can't fix it.
It's possible to get... Anyway, it's a long story, but, you know, I do that sort of stuff. You know, that's my bread and butter.
Okay, well then maybe you can help me.
Okay,
at some point.
Yeah, we'll, but not on the air. It doesn't make for good radio, I'm afraid. Unless people really are, I can do tech shows, you know, but you know, there's, everybody's tech here. You know, Heisenberg, he's over there, he's dead clever, and all these people, they don't know all their stuff. But yeah, you know, I've done data recovery for many years. I data transfer, moving things from one computer system to another as their business systems evolved. It's been a long time. Blimey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of, I'm the bull in the china closet when it comes to PCs and operating systems and stuff. I don't even have all the terminology, so I just muddle my way through it, and it's always a mess.
Yeah. I've been a long time in the, that edge of the business, as it were. Didn't really enjoy being in the business end of it. Much more in the education end of it. That's where I started, and that's what I quite enjoyed, doing educational computing and, using computer systems nobody ever uses ever. And, so I gained a whole load of skills, worked for 10 years, getting a whole load of skills that were totally not transferable. Learned a whole language that would never be used again. And I thought, sub this for a game of soldiers. I literally did. It was 10 years that I'd been working, and I was just going into work one day, crossing the road in Russell Square. And I just thought to myself, sod this for a game of soldiers. What a stupid thing to do. I get up in the morning, I go to work, I use my head, I come home with a headache, I eat, I watch some TV, and then I go to sleep, and then I do the same thing the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And although my job was quite a good one, you know, it was quite, you know, it was flexible. It suited me. It was really very easy to work. It just wasn't right. I just couldn't do it anymore. So I retired.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me in the culinary arts, and I ended up, I did that for almost 10 years, and there was a day when I realized that, you know, I love creating things. I've always been that way all my life, and here I am doing all these dishes and everything and nothing to show for it in hours. I mean, literally, the things that you create, we all know where that ends up when you're eating it. And I couldn't do it anymore. There just came a day where I could not do it anymore. Plus the being in restaurants, and it's just a nightmare of management issues and stuff. And it just, I just simply could not do it anymore. And I literally walked off the job and ended up at a radius wood window manufacturing company, which just suited me perfectly, because it was, what we did is we made Gothic windows and oval windows for frames for stained glass and things like that. A lot of the older architecture that you see that have radius arch tops, we did side lights for beside doors and transoms over doors and stuff. And it was very creative. Nothing was ever the same because you're building it for different houses and stuff. So I really enjoyed that job, and I had something to show for it. And it was also because, and we touched on this on the last show, is that spatial orientation, being able to figure things out in your head and put it together, kind of on the fly, because it was a production company, but there were certain aspects of that company where you'd have to create jigs in order to mill pieces. And when you're working with radius parts, it's often a different radius. So you're making jigs for all these different radiuses so you can mill these parts customized for each window. And I just loved it because it was so creative. It was so free form in essence. And it was a great job. It was a really good job.
So, even, and that I think, you know, this is what we're talking about. A sense of permanence, of making some change, scratching, as one of my friend says, scratching my name in the leather of immortality.
Wow.
Yeah. I just want to, like, just let's talk about the these Ray groups. I'm often talking. I give three numbers, and the three numbers represent the monad, the soul, and the personality. Now, the personality is like your lower self, yeah, your ego, your physical body conglomeration committee kind of thing, you know, because, right, because already you've got four. You got your physical body, you got your emotional body, and you got your mental body. That's three of them, and then they are coordinated by the personality that operates out of the throat center. Your soul connects in through your heart center, and your monad connects in through your crown center. So you could think of your monad as your highest thinking, your highest mind, your soul as your highest feeling, and your personality is your highest expression on the physical plane. And it's always, I just wrote the word highest in the chat room. Highest first. That's what I meant to put in the chat room. So you'll see how long it takes to, for the sound to come through, by the way, because I just typed that as I spoke. So the highest first is there are three groups of monads. And, of course, they're rays 1, 2, and 3, because remember I said before that if there are seven of something, and there are seven of something else, you know, so seven colors and 7 days, you know, then each day will have a color. I remember once Rebecca asked me, Rebecca Jernigan, just said something quite out of the blues from her guides. They said, when you wake up in the morning, ask yourself what color this day is. And I did it probably for about a week or so, just a couple of days. I discovered that it went through the scale, went through the spectrum, but backwards. You know, it went blue, indigo, green, orange, yellow, no, green, yellow, orange, red, blue, kind of thing. So it kind of went backwards through the spectrum, or from the highest down. Monad one of the three higher minds. The Ray 2 monad has expressed the human group. The Ray 1 monad, I haven't quite decided what to call it. It's like those beings in the universe who at some point have realized that they are part of God, and that they have decided that they are going to work on the side of what is the highest. You know, when I say God, I'm talking about the highest, the most broad unit of consciousness that we could imagine, or that is all that is in the universe at large.
That's exactly the way I was going to term it. The all that is.
That's right.
The
isness is one of the words that that apparently extraterrestrials have used. And so, those of us who have through lifetimes done the work, Those are called initiates, and they belong in the Ray 1 monad group. Okay? And there's a Ray 3 monad group, who are, for want of a better word, those that desire to manipulate rather than to... they're using their will to manipulate things rather than allowing... allowing stuff to kind of naturally unfold. Let's put it that way. So we call them the powers that be.
Right.
Or the Illuminati, or the Zionists, or the Jews, or the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the Catholics, or the Vatican, or the, you know, whoever the heck it is. It's the third Ray Monad group. So it's the threes, you know. I went to court recently, last October. Was it October? Anyway, sometime. I was sitting in the court and waiting. So what I do when I wait, you know, as I'm sitting there and I'm just dousing everybody and what are their rays, you know, what's their energies, how can, because, you know, by looking at people in terms of rays, you're no longer looking at good, evil, bad, good, nice, nasty. You know, we've gone beyond the personality, we've gone beyond the personal effects and the personal expressions, you see. So there's no judgment there, and it's just
right. Numbers. I was going to say, Andrew talks about that, the sacred neutral point.
Yeah, yep. It's like what's it like? It's the next octave. It's the unification. It's the unified God mind that you just have to realize that you're part of. And then you're part of it, and that's it. You know, that's all the enlightenment. You don't need Jesus, you don't need Buddha, you don't need somebody else, you don't need gurus, you don't need aphorisms, you don't need any of this. You just
there
have to
no
know
separation.
Yeah, you just realize it, and it's like
right.
It's like relaxing back into a lovely furry overcoat.
Yeah, it is kind of warm, isn't it? Warm and fuzzy.
Yeah. Warm and fuzzy.
Yeah. It's a pleasant, peaceful... if a person could put these three words together, a pleasant, peaceful, powerful, or empowered position. Make sense?
Mm. I go immediately to the Eagles. I get a peaceful, easy feeling, and I'm already on the ground.
I thought it was "I Won't Let You Down."
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I've cut a few. I always do that. Cut a few lyrics out.
Me too. My memory of lyrics just sucks, so I'm probably incorrect.
Yeah, you might be right anyway.
You're the music man.
So. Yeah, I'm the music. I'll tell you how it goes in the chords. That's easy. It's remembering how the lyrics go. I can't remember lyrics. You know, I had this song, another Eagles song, Take It to the Limit. I inflicted it on everybody who was listening to my shows as well. And I still can't remember how the words go. Oh, well, I love it. Maybe it's the aluminium.
Yeah,
maybe it's the mercury. Maybe I could blame it on those. I'm 52 now. You know, and I think what it is that as you get older, you don't remember the details so much, but yeah, manage to distill the wisdom out of stuff. So you don't need to remember details so much. When you're dealing with things, you know, you need to remember details with people, you know, how's that spaniel of yours, you know, I haven't got a spaniel, it's a Labrador, you know, stuff like that. That's important to remember. But, when you're dealing with stuff, that there are processes and patterns that, you know, that everything has, and they have their properties, and those properties do the, you know, it's consistent, you know, if you do it one day, it's not going to be any different, you know, if you, for instance, you cut a sheet of glass with a cutter, it's gonna break in exactly the same way on a Tuesday as it will on a Wednesday. You know, there's no variation in that according to, you know, whether Mercury is retrograde or not. You know, people are different. So everything's got its properties, and all its properties are related to the ray that it is, and the energy that it is, and the quality of the ray. So every ray's got its quality, and once you can get the qualities of things, that's the feeling that you get from them. That's when you can then start balancing things, because once you get to recognize what ray is what, and you know what the balancing ray is, because it's not linear. It's not a linear relationship, but it does make sense. And once you get it, it's like, oh, yeah, I see it. How cool. Because it's not like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a line. You know, it's not like... Because a lot of people say, oh, yeah, there's your first chakra. And when you do your meditation, you're going to go from your base center up the spine to the top, and then out pops your head. And that's a linear way of thinking about what the idea of what enlightenment is. That's a bottom up, a ground up way of thinking about it. All right, but the way that I've been taught and shown and demonstrated from within myself, this is the way it happens: is that it actually starts from the sacral center, because it's all about sorting out the relationships that we have, and that's the seventh ray. Is the ray of relationships. And right, so I'm gonna lay something out here that is I'm not spoken very much about, and it's a good as any time to do it, because we're at that transition time, and it's not such a desperate thing anymore. But what the deal is that throughout millennia we've been abused, and what that does is change the way these chakras are vibrating. It changes the frequency, it changes the ray, changes the key of them, and when you change a key, it changes the quality. When you change the quality, you change the behavior, and when you change the behavior, you change the effect. So by changing the nature of the quality of the way it should, the way, you know, the way that it was designed to be.
The way it was intended.
Yeah. From the original tent of the human body, the sacral center carries the seventh ray of relationship and bright relationship. But because of millennia of abuse, the relationship that has, there's a three chakras have got the rays turned around. You know, this is alchemy and black magic, and this is what's happened to the human race, and this is how we've become dumbed down. Is that we've been the fourth ray, which exists in the base center, is sent to the brow center. The brow center energy, which should be the fifth ray, is then sent to the sacral center, and the seventh ray is sent to the base center. Right, okay, so that's a bit of a mouthful, and it's a bit of a brainful, and it's something that I haven't really spoken about much, but this is the difference between the unascended human and the ascended human, and the process between the two. So, you got any questions so far?
I'm following this completely and really sensing it, but I would add that's why they can't win.
Well,
that we're in the middle of this process of transformation, and this stuff is bursting out anyway.
Yeah, because this is all right. So this is the process. Now let's.
Okay.
It's quite a big concept, but. Once you can get the concept, and I hope, you know, people are listening and listening to what is going on here, but this is the process by which humanity will ascend, okay? And it may not make sense right now, but if you study this and come back to this, and, you know, in a couple of years' time, you'll understand what I'm talking about, at least if you keep listening to what I'm saying. But humanity has had the energies of the these three chakras, it's been kind of reversed. It's been distorted. We all know that something's wrong. This is what's wrong with our being, right? This is what's wrong with our bodies and our physical being. And the effect of that. So the effect of having the fifth ray of concretion sitting in the sacral center, that creates concrete relationships. Creates concretion in relationships. It's not, it's a fixed role, you know. And this, you can see it, like, in the way that people have related, say, the 1950s, and in the way people relate these days. Everything was very formal, and everything was very fixed. You know, you could never move out of your caste. You could never move out of your place where you were born. You know, you were put there, and that's where you stay. And that's, and you know, your wife or your husband and all of these people in your immediate vicinity, you have a very solid and fixed relationship to them. Okay. Now, that also is, part of, as we've seen uncover and unfold in the last few months, the abuse network. So when we're talking about fifth ray and the sacral, we're actually talking about an abusive way of relating. The fifth ray, it governs humor. It also governs crudeness, earthy sexuality, let's put it that way. And when it's in its worst aspects, its worst glamour, it is, you know, that's the big driving force of perversion. It's also very strongly connected with the military industrial complex. You know, the fifth ray attracts that as well. So that energy, that's the fifth ray in its worst aspect. In its highest aspect, as I was saying before, it is a great researcher, a person who you can rely on for facts, very interested in finding the truth. So would be a theological student if connected with a religious ray or something like that. Anyway, so that's the energy of the fifth ray in the sacral center. The energy that should be in the base center, which is the fourth ray, is sent to the brow center. So the brow center then carries the fourth ray. Now the fourth ray is the ray of harmony through conflict. So instead of concrete knowledge, which is the fifth ray, which is in the brow center where it should be, the fifth ray is in the sacral center, and the fourth ray goes into the brow center. And so we have this self-doubt, this eternal conflict going on in our minds, the battle zone of our mind.
Eternal or internal?
Both.
Okay.
And all three, you know, it just goes on and on and on, and it'll never stop because it's not supposed to be there. You know, both sides are wrong. You know, if you have to choose sides, then both sides are wrong.
That's so the dog chasing its tail.
Yeah.
In your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also outwardly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
okay. So with the fourth ray in the brow center, we're unable to make a decision. We're unable to know what is real, what is true. And that is how we can be fooled, and that is how we've been taken in, and that's it's like a state of anxiety, really, of permanent anxiety, a lack of safety. That's what fourth ray in the brow center is, right?
Fear.
Yeah, it's PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. The last ray that has popped out of this whole situation is a seventh ray, which then finds its way into the base center. Now, the base center is about our sense of our sense of belonging, our sense of connectedness with the planet, you know, our root. If the seventh ray is in that, then your root is all about where you're planted. You know, you're really like a tree. So if you're in a caste system, it will enforce that caste system. You know, the whole Romeo and Juliet and all of those scenarios that people were working against, that's what's caused by the seventh ray in the base center. You know, people exist in their cliques, you were in it or not in it, the hierarchy, yeah. All of that stuff. Yeah. You were in it or not in it. Okay, so that's the situation that we discovered ourselves in when we incarnated in these lifetimes. By working on harmlessness and right relationship, and I'll unfold those words later, we can allow that situation to reverse, right? Okay, so we reverse the PTSD. We allow that. The way we do it is by relationships first. So we stop abusing each other. We stop abusing others. We own, we take responsibility for our relationship with others. No longer you become a victim. You choose your people.
Yeah, that is so, so important in recovery, is that getting out of this victim state of consciousness, is that it is astonishing in the community how it's literally an act of desperation that we, most of us, go through in recovery, is that we hold on to these old ideas and defend them with every single bit of energy that we have. And part of the recovery process is letting all that stuff go.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've been, this is the thing, we've been trained into it. We've been PTSD'd into it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so that's how you can forgive yourself. We'll talk about forgiveness later, you know, because that, I think, is a really important part of what you call the recovery process. I call the ascension process, because you're doing the same thing, you know, and it really doesn't matter. It's not like, you know, it's not like alcoholics have got further to go to enlightenment, because part of the problem of the alcohol is because you're so sensitive to it. You could have actually been closer to it.
Right, and there's also the physical aspect, the allergy of the body that many people still don't understand today, is that literally my body is different than your average temperate drinker, and I actually get a different result from taking a couple of drinks than your average temperate drinker.
Yeah.
I have a profound spiritual experience, and that stopped happening. But it still was the only thing that ever worked in my life. So any human being that finds a key that fits a lock is going to continue to pursue that until the gates of insanity and death. Mm-hmm. Even though I had all kinds of evidence around me, if I was willing to look at it, which I wasn't for quite some time, that this is not a good thing to be doing, still, it was the only key that ever fit that lock that freed me, actually, in the beginning. It freed me. And when it boomeranged on me and started ripping me to shreds, it still was the only thing that, in the beginning, again, allowed me to let go of the fear, the resentment, the worry, the anger. And I've shared with this on shows before, is that the first time I drank a fifth of Jack Daniels, and I had a spiritual experience, man, I'm telling you. Also rolled down into an 80-foot ravine in the middle of the night at a kegger, and it took me all night to crawl out of that, going in and out of a blackout, and it's kind of astonishing when I go into the details of the story, how it paralleled, that one night paralleled my alcoholism and its journey.
Everything's a hologram, as above, so below, as we know.
Yeah, it, it, it's astonishing, and I did not come into the realization of how that first experience was going to be the story of 17 years of drunkenness. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. There's so many analogies within that first night experience that it's astounding.
I believe in beginnings. I mean, okay, so, right. So, Seventh-ray souls, it's a whole, your whole generation, whole, you know, era, of shamanistic humans. You know? And you, like Andrew, and like many, are shamans. You spend past lives as shamans, and you will spend future lives as shamans, because our job is to heal and rebalance and do all that stuff. We're good at that. We can. Once we get everything right, once we understand what right relationship is, for instance. And here's the thing, you know, once you understand right relationship, you'll see, this is what we're looking for. This is the opposite of the abusive relationship. And that works for ourselves. And essentially, you cause no harm, which means you create no more karma to deal with in the future. And it's the karma that is the problem. We're caught all the time by our karma. And all the things that we have to do are the result of the karmic things that we've ignored in the past. One way of looking at karma is like mess that you haven't cleaned up in the past, you trip over again. You know? If you don't clean up the sick, you'll slip in it in the morning. So, when we're talking about harmlessness really, like I said, means that you're not causing any more harm. You're not causing any more karma, because harm causes karma. You know, when you experience karma, you're experiencing the feeling that you created in the other person, so that you feel how you made the other person feel.
Right, what you put out, you get back.
Exactly.
And people will deny that.
Well, these are the people who really need to learn. And, you know, it's not their fault, because they've got this fourth ray going on in their mind, which, you know, they don't know what's true. You can't recognize what's true by listening to your mind anymore. Right? If you've got the fourth ray going on, you have to listen to your heart. You have to go into the heart, you know. So let's look back at, again, right relationship, harmlessness. Harmlessness and heart-centeredness are very, very similar, because if you start going around and feeling things with your heart, you get this incredible divine sensitivity. You become one with blades of grass, you know. You recognize the living beingness of the trees and flowers and rocks and plants all around you. You see the sky, you see the clouds, you see each cloud as a living being moving past you.
You know, I've been having this experience lately. It actually started happening back last summer, to where my heart is so full that I feel like I'm going to explode. That my chest just, you can't take anymore. It's so blissful. It's so beautiful. It's so nurturing, loving, giving. And you just wish that you could, only an alcoholic would say this, you could put it in a bottle and give it to people.
Yeah. You know? All right. We're at the top of the first hour. So, Tony, if you would like to, join me on the backside of the first hour. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. This is Revolution Radio. This is Journeys with JP. Yes, indeed. Your host is JP with Journeys with JP, the second hour. Wow, I'm really impressed. Here on Studio B. Oh, it's nice to be on Studio B. I had a studio, Tony, that was called Studio 9. That was the number on the key. It really said Studio 9 on the key. And I thought, what a really cool thing. What a really nice name. So you'll see a lot of the things that are connected with me is like the Studio 9 this and Studio 9 that. So
yeah, I saw your YouTube channel is something to that effect, is it not?
That's right, that's right. Yeah, so what it was, what was Studio 9? It was a workshop in a stable of an old country estate in Altyre in northern Scotland here. It's only about like 6 miles away from here. And I rented this workshop space, which was about, what was it, about 7 meters by 4 meters. No, 9 meters by 7 meters. Something like that. And I divided it up into places, and I built a bed up on a platform and an office underneath the bed. And I built a stage, and we had amplifiers, PAs, mixers, pianos, or, you know, drum kit, everything, the whole thing. And we used to have jam sessions every Friday. And me and my friends used to play music, and I used to record it and edit it and make an album every week. It was an obsessive thing, and I never got paid for it at all. Still not earned anything from it, but I do play one or two tracks on the station sometimes as a sort of indulgence of mine.
Yeah, I've heard you have a couple of them broadcast, and I was just thinking, jamming in the stable, that's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, really nice. So that was Studio 9, and you know, I thought Studio 9 is such a cool thing because they, you know, they're Jamaican. They had this Studio 1 recording that was like where all the big reggae records were made. So Studio 9 has this kind of nineness. It's like Plan 9 from Outer Space. It's kind of slightly up the next octave, really.
Right.
So I really like that sort of moniker. So that's where the Studio 9 thing comes from. Meanwhile, we were talking about right relationship and harmlessness, and how that can affect humanity and how we can all... right, okay, so there's this thing, now I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's known as non-violent communication. Have you ever heard of this?
Yes, actually I have. I don't know much about it. It's just, it rings a bell.
Okay, well, basically is that the premise is that when we are acting out of our egos, and when those egos are turned into a negative, passive-aggressive sort of energy, which, you know, that's what all this fifth ray, seventh ray, fourth ray, all in the wrong place does to you. It puts you into a state of victimhood because you have been victimized, and it's PTSD. And it's hard to get out of because it's PTSD. You know, it's been traumatized into us over thousands and thousands of years and lifetimes, and, you know, that becomes the normality. And so when we start to work on this process, which we're calling the process of ascension, I've been taught that it's called the process of initiation. That the energies that move through these chakras, they change and they swap back. And it's like, you know, if you've got some material, let's see, maybe if the Mylar we were talking about Mylar last night, if you kind of, it would pucker out, you'd snap it out, and then you could kind of push it at a certain point, you know, the dent would pop back out again. You know, like a pop, when you got a small dent in the car, and it kind of tinks and you pop it back out. That's the sort of thing that we're doing. By encouraging people to be in right relationship with each other, right? So what that means, you know, it means be respectful. It means stop separating yourself, thinking one kind of person's better than another. Stop thinking in a racist, bigoted manner. Learn
stop
that everybody...
being selfish.
Yeah.
Which is driven by fear.
Which is, you know, the result of PTSD. You know, it all comes back to that whole thing.
The trauma.
Yeah. And so by popping that in there by working towards right human relationships, which, you know, when you're talking about relationships between a man and a woman, means that whoever is has the greatest capacity for intuition at that time, that's who's in charge. And the other will recognize it as well when you're working in right relationship. You know, there are some times when it's in, when it's appropriate to do things with your right hand, other times it's appropriate to do things with your left hand, and you shouldn't try and do things with your right hand that your left hand can do. You understand?
Yeah, that, it seems to me that you're talking about not only balance, but also that, that inner sense of knowing.
Yeah. Because that's the, that's how it happens. Right? Your inner knowing is your soul.
Right. And as you've been saying before, and I absolutely agree with this, we've been so programmed out of that, that intuitive heart space, is that we start believing the brain, and as I, we're not our brain. And it was an amazing experience for me in recovery when I realized my brain wasn't quite working right, and two, that it was a source of every single problem in my life. I was not listening to my heart space.
So when we start moving to our soul, now, as I said, you know, your soul is it's the sum collection of all your incarnations, past and future. That's how you can know the future, because your soul is already there. Your soul exists out of time. You could imagine that all the timelines are just different directions out of the soul. So the soul may kind of imagine might be a cube sitting in space spinning on its point, sending out tendrils in all directions. Those are its lives, the experiences. That's one way of looking at it. Anyway,
yeah,
so
it's almost like a spider web.
Yeah,
that there's all these different paths.
Yeah. So when we're working in right relationship and harmlessness, we realize that we need to kind of lean back a bit rather than push forward. Because what you find is when you start pushing forward, you realize that everybody else is, well, you know, that nature abhors a vacuum. You know, if you stop pushing too much, there'll be other people who just be pushing just enough, and there'll be maybe more. But that's what we call teamwork and group work. And this is what the seventh ray is about. It's about recognizing your position in the group. Now, here's another example of right relationship is group organization. Because now you've had experience with group dynamics, because that's how you got cured.
I'm not cured, but I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and there is a group dynamic there that is extraordinarily powerful. It's an amazing experience, and it does take a surrender in order to become that healing energy, interestingly enough.
So here's the thing about organization. Organization of any group simply needs to recognize the function of the chakras and expand from there, because the chakras have a relationship to each other. And once you recognize the relationship of the chakras have to each other, as I said, it's not a linear relationship, and we'll expand on this. Once you understand how the chakras relate to each other, then you understand how a organic structure can work, and everybody is happy because everybody's doing what they're doing.
for the highest good of all.
Just because that's what they love doing. And if you love doing right. something, it is right. good. It's naturally good because your love, the nature of soul is love. I know that sounds like Barry White, but it's true. The nature of soul is love. So if you have something that is soulful, that brings you to a point of soulfulness, you're also going to be in ecstatic joy because it's just exactly what you love. You'll feel like a 5-year-old. You know?
Yeah, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, and I've spoken of this before, but one of the things that was just an amazing discovery for me, and I actually had to be instructed on this, is that do things for fun and for free. And what was amazing about that is that the center of my problem being by driven by these hundreds of forms of fear that result in this extraordinary and extreme selfishness and self-centeredness is that anything I ever did had a price tag on it. And this, I'm really starting to get much more in touch, and I think that's why I'm having these experiences where I feel like that my heart is going to explode, is that I do things now just to pursue them because it's my highest joy, it's my highest excitement, and I do it without expectation. The price tag is removed, and for some reason that is still a bit mystical and mysterious to me, the world becomes, I mean, the angelic realms sing to you. And just amazing circumstances, amazing synchronicities start happening, and at least in my life, when that price tag of expectation is removed, is that I'm just pursuing that light, if you will.
That's interesting. So you've got the when you're talking about angels and all that angelic realm, this is the realm of the second ray. And it is the most underrated ray, because it's the person who you wouldn't notice, you know, the person who would just kind of the meek little person in the corner who is looking after yeah. everybody. That's the second yeah. ray.
Yeah, that's that removal of expectation, is that they don't need to be the standout. It's not feeding the ego. They just are being who they truly are.
Yeah. And even if they're a road sweeper, that's because they're happy doing that. That's their, you know, their happiness. And, you know, one shouldn't be looked down on. There was a lovely film called Happy, by some strange coincidence, about, you know, what is it that makes people happy? And it turns out that the thing that is common across every single person who was happy that they interviewed in this film was that they were in the moment. They weren't anywhere else. They were in the now.
Bingo.
And I tell you, doing internet radio really brings you into the now. You can't have any other bit of baggage around you, because as soon as something snags that baggage, the station goes down, you know. There's so many things that can go wrong, you know, and I've done all of them. I do them all the time. You know, I talk away for minutes on end, you know, completely oblivious to the fact that my microphone fader is down to zero and nobody can hear me. You know, I've got my eyes closed so I can't see what's going on. You know, stuff like that always happens, but harmlessness is about healing karma, about allowing things to play their way out without interfering. Now, a lot of the traits that have gotten us into trouble over these years have been what is normally regarded as normal behavior, but that's only because we've been taught to abuse each other. You know, we have been taught to intervene in people's lives. Now, this is quite a controversial one here. Is it right to intervene in somebody's life, or is it better to allow them to experience their life lessons as we have? Discuss.
Right. This is a very powerful place, an empowering, self-empowering place to come from. And it is a process of discovery. It's not my job to wake people up. And in fact, I was instructed kind of early on in my process, what other people think and what other people do, unless it's directly harming me, is actually kind of none of my business, especially what they're thinking. And this is one of these aspects, and I've come to the conclusion that this is one of the things about humanity that actually makes us all insane, is that we modify our behavior according to what we think people are thinking. That's insane.
Yeah, because we can't tell what people are thinking because we've got the fourth ray in the brow center.
Right.
We can't hear people through the throat center with the telepathy.
So for other people to understand this a little more deeply is that when we're in that process, and we all do it, I still do it today sometimes, but I catch myself a whole lot quicker, is that what I'm doing is projecting actually my consciousness into another human being and responding to that. That's what makes it so insane. I'm actually having, and sometimes, a war within my head, and I'm actually playing that out in the physical world. And in essence, when I'm doing that, I'm kind of victimizing the other person with my own consciousness.
That's how we've been trained. This is part of the PTSD mind control program that has been inculcated for thousands of years, Tony. So,
yes,
you know,
they have been at.
We can't get down on. But here's the thing, right? So let's talk about 7-6 rays, right? Because
okay.
Some of these things we've touched on. So here's the thing, the 6-3 personality, this is the 110% kind of guy. And this is, you know, I can imagine that's how you used to be. You'd throw yourself in both feet. If you had more feet, you'd throw more in, you know. You really want to get involved, you muck in, you really kind of, yeah, you know, kind of thing. But the dark side of that is the hole that you're trying to fill. Because
by yourself.
There's the sense of a very deep sense of needing to belong, and not knowing even that you need to belong, but just that yawning feeling.
Yep.
You know, and that is what people try to fill with drink or drugs or shopping or television or da 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 da. This sense of home safe, this sense of safety, this sense of belonging. Dave's got it right. This is it. This is the wolf pack. You know, the sense of belonging in a wolf pack. I've understood a bit more since I've been looking after the hound. You know, my girlfriend's husky. I've realized that a lot of what his activities are making sure that everybody's in the same place. He's herding us. You know, he's making sure that the pack stays together. So if anybody walks out of the room, he goes out of the room waiting for them to come back, making sure that they come back to the pack. And it's fascinating to watch this kind of, inbuilt behavior that he has. That's the way his mind is working, is that I'm gradually understanding, but he's an exceptional creature. A husky is a very interesting dog. It's not like a dog. Very different from dogs. More like a baby wolf. It's got this intelligence about it, and he talks. I don't know if anybody has heard this, but you know they go all this stuff, and lots of communication. Ultrasonic and all this stuff. So, meanwhile, pack, this sense of needing. Oh yeah, that's right. His rays were 2-6-7. Which are the same as my girlfriend. That's interesting. You know how girlfriends or people are like their pets, as they resonate together. So the sense of needing to belong to something. This is that this innate sense of wanting to congregate, you know, to join a congregation, to join the group, to join the club, to be a church, to be a body, to be part of the body. This is natural, you know. There are certain cells in the body that gravitate towards certain different parts of the body, and which ones manifest where according to what they are, and that's what our natural instinct of being able to form groups is about. And what happens when we join groups is that we take on an energy of one of the chakras. And the best kind of organizer is somebody who understands the process of the relationship of the way the chakras work together to create an efficient working organism. Organization, organs of the body. Organs represent chakras. Chakras are the energy centers that are controlled from the higher forms. So when you create something that has a reflection with, say, a perfect geometric form, then, you know, like when if you see those lovely swimmers, those old-fashioned swimmers who made those lovely patterns in the water when they were swimming, in these films, that it creates an effect in the mind. It's a mandala, and mandalas are very important. They are symbols of geometric form in the mind that are realities. These things are realities. They exist in their own form. The soul, we've been taught for many years, is the Kaaba, the Mea Kaaba. The Kaaba,
yes.
The Kaaba, the thing in Mecca, right? That great big cube, and they kiss the corner, right? The corner of the cube is the soul. The Kaaba, the cube, Kaaba, Cuba, cube, Kaaba. Are we getting it? It's the same word, Kaaba, cube, and the Merkaba is the cube on its point.
You said something about the mandala, and what popped into my head is that, have you seen the exercise where they put sand on a plate and they put speakers on four corners of the plate, and then they emit this frequency, and it's the sand on the plate just self-organizes into these mandalas, these frequency shapes and forms.
Yeah, they are known as Chladni figures or kymatic. Or I figured out the word for it, and you know, it obviously exists. It's a chymoglyph. That's the name of the thing. So you got like hieroglyphs, you know, petroglyphs and all that. So this is a chymoglyph. C-Y-M-A-G-L-Y-P-H. Chymoglyph. And it's a standard. So each every frequency has its pattern, which is interesting, right?
Yeah, very, very powerful that is going on, and that the mandalas are a reflection of that. I just find that fascinating.
Mm. So do you know the thing about the Roslin motet?
Rings a bell.
All right. In the southern part of the country that I live in a place called Roslin near Edinburgh, is a chapel. This chapel was built in the 1500s. Okay, it has many mysteries around it, and it is a
Roslin Chapel, built by the Templars.
That's right. It's supposed to have a representation of the Solomon Temple in its basement, or all this stuff, you know, loads of things, loads of legends. But there's one very, very special thing about this place. Well, several berries. I could go on. But anyway, one of the things about this place is that it's got sweet corn represented. And sweet corn wasn't, quote, discovered, unquote, until about 90 years after this thing was built. So that was the first mystery of this place. Either that, or, you know, maybe the Vikings went over there, who knows. Meanwhile, there are columns all over the place, and lining each column are little stone cubes. And on the face of the cube is a pattern. And these columns, they stretch across the chapel, in various lines. And what they've done is to photograph all of them in the appropriate sequence, and then they find the chymoglyph that represents that note, or they find the note that is represented by that chymoglyph, and then that will create the a piece of music. And you can go to YouTube and type in Roslyn Motet, M-O-T-E-T, and you'll hear this very haunting and beautiful piece of music that is literally set in stone in Roslyn Chapel. And that is the most fascinating thing about that place, if you ask me.
Yeah, the music was literally encoded into the architecture of the chapel.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is very powerful when we start recognizing, again, everything is energy. That's why they did that. These were astute secret society people. They understood energy profoundly. And this is, how old is that chapel now?
Well, it's about 500 years now.
Right.
My friend was there recently.
Yeah, and this gets into some of the temples in Egypt and how they're designed. John Anthony West does an expose on the sacred sites in Egypt, and it is an amazing piece of work that he did. And I would really encourage people not only to look up Roslyn Chapel or the term that you use, but also John Anthony West's work. It is amazing because it's all about frequency and vibration and the way these sacred sites were built.
So, that's right. Last night, this is where we left off. We were talking about sacred sites and the squaring of the circle. I don't know if we got further to that. Anyway, let's just finish the whole thing about relationship and harmlessness. We'll finish it. You know, this is a whole lifetime study, multiple lifetime study. But anyway, the groups who have been working to change the world are the groups that are organized by Saint Germain, because he's the master of the seventh ray. And since the seventh ray is coming into incarnation now, the whole planet is going to be seventh ray. You know, everything's, it's a seventh ray all week, all day, you know. Structure and organization of time itself will be changing. And we'll go a lot more by kind of internal times and other things, you know, like the rainbow clock of Talos and when the galactic center is overhead and things like that, sidereal time. These are seventh ray things, you know, before everybody had to beat by the same drum, you know, that's the sixth ray. You do it my way or the highway, you know, we want a one world religion, all of those things, are sixth ray because they don't recognize the nature of organization of manifestation, which is that everything is organized. Everything is an organ. Everyone is an organ. And when you recognize what organ you are, whether you're a heart or a liver or a stomach or a spleen, once you recognize what organ you are, you can place yourself in any organization and know how to be useful immediately. So that's the way that it's in a useful thing to know what, you know, how the rays are, because they manifest in a particular way. And the process is also known as the process of initiation, as to which chakras get activated in which order during the process of ascension, as we call it, or initiation, as we call it. We can look at how the process goes, and the first one is the first active, and most people are brought through this initiation by love or by relationship. You know, you find, yeah, in my case, I had girlfriend who was into this kind of stuff, and I got into it because she was into it, and we shared it, and it was interesting, and we broke up, but I'm still interested in it. You know, so that was how I became interested in that situation. It was through relationships, through a male female relationship, but it could be, you know, student teacher, all that sort of stuff. You know, how a teacher may inspire a pupil and become, you know, because a teacher has to be in right relationship with a student. Because there's a lot of power, there's enough power to abuse there. So that's the one of the reasons that we need to have right relationship in this world, so that students and teachers can relate properly, and in fact become great students and great teachers, and not be stunted and distorted and perverted by the problems of the abusive relationship. So, when we have a correct student-teacher relationship, and you've got the beginnings of recognizing what is what. It's like you start to learn the rays. You start to understand that there are seven of things, and how those seven things manifest. This is how the hologram manifests. Manifests as first as a one, and then two, and then three, and then four. You add the three and the four, that makes the seven, and then the seven expands into the 12 and the 22, and etc. So you got all these different number systems, and that's how they relate. When you're in relationship that is in right order, the first thing you do when you are in proper relationship is you communicate, you express yourself, you communicate in a clear and true manner. Like, mean you say what you are, and you express truly what you're saying and what you're feeling, so the vibrational energy that comes off your feelings and the word energy that comes out of your mouth, they match. There's no cognitive dissonance, there's a cognitive resonance, and that becomes a new way of relating. And so you have the throat center and the sacral center coming into relationship with each other in yourself and with the other, and that forms the first ring. So if you imagine that you're looking at your human body in front of you, and then you've got the chakras, you see that the throat center and the sacral center at like each end of the torso, and form a ring, two edges of the ring. The next initiation that happens is between the heart center and the solar plexus center. And the solar plexus center, and this is the sod this for a game of soldiers moment, when you give up that which is bogging you down. When you realize that it's bogging you down because you're just emotionally attached to it, because you're trying to impress someone or something, once you've let go of that, that takes you up another level. But that is the hardest one. This is the hardest test, the surrender test. Yes. And you know, the more heart based you are, the less effort it takes to get there. And so now when we're looking at our model of the body, and so we have the first initiation, the seven and the three, the throat center and the sacral center forming one circle, one large circle. Then inside that circle is another circle, and that's formed by the heart center and the solar plexus. You see, the circles are concentric. Okay, so we have two circles. And the next one is the third circle, which is on the outside of that other circle, and that's by the base center and the crown center. But then if you zoom back and look at that, you see that the two rings that we've got are four chakras that are in the body, the torso. That means that once those are clear and rotating properly, then there's nothing in the way of the crown and the base. Does that make sense? This is the process.
Absolutely.
It's the process of cleansing. It's the process of healing. Because what is healing but the infusion of the soul? The enlivening force that creates the body in the first place.
Right, and I actually talked about this a little bit differently. Excuse my phone ringing. Mm-hmm. Is that this uncover, discover, discard process and this spiritual awakening that happens? It's a very amazing, powerful process.
So, do you want to? Having related and cleansed those bodies. Now, these processes will be often quite dramatic. It's not just like, oh, bing, suddenly the things, because there's blockages in the way, and there's PTSD in the way, and there's conditionings and all those things that are in the way of our having clear channels of communication, etc., between us and inside us. This is what we're battling against. This is kind of, we're looking at the template of it all. How it works out in reality is often unpredictable. Unpredictable results may occur if you plug this thing in. So let's look at the third initiation. And the third initiation is the point when all of those the chakras between the throat center and the sacral center, all those are clear now, and light can pour in from the crown center down through the spine, down to the base center, and then at that point the kundalini then spirals back upwards and feeds the spirals back upwards to the pituitary gland and the pineal gland, and that then secretes DMT, and that's when we have our spiritual experience. That's when a proper, truly shamanic, truly advanced, without the use of external things, happens, and that's what we call the third initiation.
I had a very odd experience around that. I had a white light experience when I was actually driving, and what I was doing at that point, I think I was probably 5 to 7 years of sobriety, and I had been reading the 7 spiritual laws of success by Deepak Chopra, and basically he lays out for each day of the week that there's a process that you go through, a spiritual process for each day of the week. And one of the days of the week was, one of the things that you practice is giving people a gift. It doesn't have to be something physical, but you can just simply wish them happiness, joy, and laughter. And what I was doing is, I was late to work, and so I'm a little bit panicked, and this is why it was so odd, is that I was not in a good state when I was leaving my home, but I'm on the way to work, and I'd gotten into the custom on this particular day, I believe it was a Tuesday, every Tuesday, everybody going the opposite direction when I'm driving, I'd wish them happiness, joy, and laughter, and I would also do that throughout the day. And this particular day, I remember I'm driving, and I'm just beaming this happiness, joy, and laughter, happiness, joy, and laughter, and it is such a vivid, profound memory, is that I'm doing this, and this 1966 7 Volkswagen Bug, light blue, exactly like the first car I ever owned, with a sunroof, was going the opposite direction, and this brunette was driving, and I'm wishing happiness, joy, and laughter.
Wah, wah, wah.
And then this, I just burst into this light, and I actually ended up not only driving my van, but slightly above myself, seeing myself driving the van that I was driving, and then also at about 8,000, 10,000 feet above everything, witnessing everything. I was in three places at the same time, and literally, the angels were singing, and I became the energy of, the best way I can put this, the God energy. And I felt these waves, these waves of this profound love that is, there's no possible way you can describe it. And what was amazing, it wasn't emanating to me, it was emanating from me. And literally the clouds, the angels were singing, and I just, it's impossible to put this into words. And I realized that this was infinite. And for the first time in my life, I could actually comprehend what infinite was and how unending it is. You cannot wrap your physical mind around this. It is so immense. And it was such a beautiful experience. And what happened was, is that being in three places at the same time, I started crying, and I'm driving, and I'm also observing this, and also observing this from an even higher level. And what happened was, the thought was, you know, if people could get this, they would kill for it. And I went whap right back into my body.
Yeah, because you got into that, like, oh, how much can I make out of this kind of mind?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The price tag came.
That's that third ray energy that we've all been traumatized into. That's a distortion of the third ray. It's in the mental body. But it's okay. You know, you can forgive yourself for that and stuff. Do you ever use Ho'oponopono?
Yes, actually, I was using that last night when I couldn't sleep.
Hmm, interesting.
Because I got these new crystals, I shared that with you, and I put those under my pillow, I charged up my Organite Pyramid, and I was just, I'm exhausted, and I am getting all this energy, thoughts, pictures, and just being bombarded with it. And man, I didn't want to give up the crystals and the pyramid and stuff. And I knew that was kind of bringing in all this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I started doing is that I started seeing all these things that, were traumas, and not just with me, but also my grandparents, my father, my mother. And one of the things I focused on was a recent conversation I had with my mother, and how angry she was with her parents when they bought a TV. And my grandfather was very proud of being able to buy that TV. They were farmers, so they had no money. And this is like in the early 60s or mid 60s. It was actually in the late 50s. My mom was still at home. And she was so angry at them that she felt they ruined everything. And the reason why was, is that people would come to the house and they would play cards and do things. And it was, you know, this social group. And when the TV came in the house, that ended. And I was sitting with my mom. My nephew's birthday was recently. He just joined the Marines, which I'm very troubled about. But the family had a gathering, and somehow we got on to this subject. And you could still feel the anger rolling off of her. And that was the vision that was stuck in my head last night. And I started doing the Ho'oponopono thing with her. And it just continued from there, is that I did that a number of times, and I went, holy cow, with all this, these images and thoughts and everything that's coming in, I'm just being bombarded with this stuff. What a fantastic thing that I'm trying to heal this stuff instead of wrestling with the thoughts and stuff like we do at night when we can't sleep. Instead, I'm sending this healing energy to it. Kind of cool.
So this is how we start taking responsibility for our lives. And instead of being victims, we can say, right, I'm going to take this situation and learn something from it. You know, actively learn something. And, you know, one of the things that you can probably relate to is, you know how your mother's anger feels. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Because not only have you felt what it's like to receive it, but you've also been able to express that in the same way.
Yep.
And this is how we share our feelings. I believe everybody shares their feelings. And you either share it by saying, I feel blah, blah, blah. Or you experience, you go through a scenario that creates that feeling in the other person.
Projecting the energy.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be done with the words.
Yeah, no, but we share our feeling, you know. So whether it's, if it's blocked or denied, it will not come out verbally and it'll be cognitive dissonance. You know, because people will say stuff, but the energy behind it will be all wrong. You'll feel that wrongness and then you'll experience that feeling as a result of that dissonance. Do you see? Because feelings are frequencies.
Absolutely.
They're like,
yeah.
They're like, chords on a guitar.
Yes.
And that's what feelings sound like.
Yeah, and I think it's worth people to note that we have a tendency also to stuff that stuff, and what ends up happening is that the ego builds upon that, and it is a fear-based emotion that's out of alignment. And that when we're stuffing that stuff and not expressing it and getting that negative energy out of our body, is that it builds within with the constant stuffing, restuffing, and it actually, that's what actually accentuates, and this is just my understanding, my experience. I don't know, maybe people can't identify with this, but when I was in that process of denial of this or stuffing it, trying to bury it, is that it because you're building upon that thing that is out of resonance or in a frequency that is unharmonious, is that it gathers its own energy because of the constant restuffing, and the ego attaches more fear ideas to that seed. And that's when things become more and more and more out of alignment. And pretty soon you have this proverbial analogy of an explosion. You blow up on somebody that doesn't, you know, never deserved it. Because that energy has to be expressed somewhere or else it'll kill you.
That's right. It has to come out. All energy has to come out. So,
right,
or express, you know, it's like a boil, it's like a splinter. You get a piece of, you know, you're working in a factory and a little tiny shard of metal buries itself deeply in your body, in your hand or somewhere like that, but, you know, right down below the skin. Your body does an interesting thing.
It surrounds it.
It creates a bubble around it of fat that allows it to then travel upwards and eventually burst through the skin. I have a friend who was a soldier in the Falklands War, and a bomb went off and he got a leg full of shrapnel. And he tells me, you know, every so often, every couple of years, he gets this little boil, itchy thing, itchy, 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 and then suddenly pop, and a little piece of metal is popping out of his body. So it's amazing what we do.
Right.
you can look upon that as trauma. In fact, that's exactly what trauma is. It's the invasion of a negative energy. So what we do is we form, if it's in a mental way, we form a mental lump of fat around it, so that we don't experience or feel the sharpness of it as it travels outwards through our body. And it comes out in cycles, and we come through these cycles of cycles of the moon, and we get more tetchy on the full moon because, you know, the magnetic field is pulling at these little shrapnels. And you know, we feel it a little more keenly. And in fact, it would be a good idea if you want to, for instance, figure out what went on in my childhood. Why am I so weird? What happened? You know, have I got buried memories? That these times when we're triggered, that's the time, the best time to start listening to what's going on, what you're putting out, what you're expressing, so that you can see and then understand that you're expressing from a trauma that happened to you when you were a child that you don't remember, but you're playing out for yourself. So like when you're driving, you know, if you could express that same triplicity. Oh, well, I'll be there at the end of the thing. Well, shit. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll have to continue this conversation another time, Tony. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. My love to all.